the shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Now it's Costin sending it back. Here's a shot. Mukka Madulin, score! Clean Costin's in the slot. He might have tipped that. It deflected right through the legs of Sorokin, and the Sharks finally solve the equation by getting on the board at 6:27, a power play goal, and it's 2-1.
By Kovalenko, you're out there for the whole 2 minutes. Is that something that you guys have talked about? Just, you know, staying out there and if you can, you know, for those whole 2 minutes, if they...
No, that was a coaching decision.
Yeah. How much do you like that? I mean, just kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I want to be on the ice as much as possible, so...
All right, what's going on, everyone? How are we all doing? It is a Sunday morning. How about Vitek Vanacek going out there in his first start after the deadline and getting a shutout for the San Jose... Traded. What? Really? Nah, I'm just kidding, folks. But I was happy to see that Vitek Vanacek, in his first start for Florida, was able to get a shutout, because that is what you want for all these guys. You want them to be able to have success wherever they go. Even if it's not with San Jose anymore, you're happy for these guys because they are good guys at the end of the day. But no, you know, last night was a good effort from San Jose, and I know that it's going to be difficult from now till the end of the year, but I do appreciate everything that the Sharks were able to do last night. And, you know, they were dominating the game when they went down early. They were out shooting the Islanders 17-1 when they gave up the first goal, and then 20-6 when they gave up the second. And considering some of the low shot total, the, you know, finishes that they've had at earlier points of this year, I'm not going to walk away from that game last night and think to myself, oh, that was the Sharks as a defeated team, as a demoralized team. No, they played hard. And I look at the totals, the stats, when all is said and done, and it's not the be-all, end-all, but there is some narrative to be taken away. They outshot the Islanders 40-28. You know, they only lost three fewer face-offs, 29-32 on the wins versus the losses. They, you know, tied in the special teams battle. They had two power play goals on four power play opportunities. Same story for the Islanders. You know, they had more hits and they had more blocked shots. The difference is the Islanders took that early lead and the Sharks were not able to climb their way back into the game. But that doesn't mean there aren't some things out of this one that you do like. Macklin Celebrini walks away with a two-point game. Will Smith walks away with yet another point as he continues to be on fire. Nikolai Kovalenko, as he returns from injury, is able to get a goal out of this one. I mean, these are the things that you're hoping to see. And Shakir Mukhmadulin has been one of the younger players as well. He gets an assist on the night. And Alex Wenberg, who had a classy day yesterday, by the way, I want to point out, you know, when the media was there at morning skate, he was out there saying that he would talk to the media in place of William Eklund and that he had been in a similar situation early in his career and they had the Swedish connection going on. I mean, that's what teammates are all about. And that's how you know that the San Jose Sharks are, you know, a tighter, more close-knit group than maybe the record implies. Everyone talks about how great the chemistry is on winning teams. I think sometimes it's overlooked how great the chemistry has to be on a, you know, down team, on a team that's losing, for things to hold together and not completely fall apart. And I think that's a really, you know, quite a testament to the Sharks front office for bringing in glue guys, bringing in Alex Wenbergs. You've had Nico Sturms here. You know, they put a high price on Mario Ferraro and he did not get traded. They, you know, it sounds like they were looking for a first round pick and more for Mario Ferraro. And I think for a lot of teams, you know, they wanted Mario Ferraro, but that's a high price. And Greer said, listen, if you want him, you're going to have to pay for him. And I think you need those glue guys to be able to stand up in those moments and stick up for your teammates. And that's what Alex Wenberg did yesterday with the media. He didn't go out there and, you know, throw his body on the line or anything in that capacity, but he was saying, hey, I am here to speak on his behalf. I am here to take these questions. Let's leave him alone to process this. And Alex Wenberg is that's a stand-up guy. That's a guy who's a little bit older in his career. This isn't his first rodeo. Not that it's William Eklund's first rodeo, but this was a moment where Alex Wenberg stepped in and said, hey, come to me in this instance. I'm going to take these bullets. I'm going to put myself in between the media and William Eklund right now because I know what this is like. And hopefully William Eklund, you know, whether it's later in his career when he is with the Sharks or with anybody else and a younger player sees one of their friends get traded, you know, we will see how this goes down. That's always a part of what works out of this. And I think that it's important to recognize that these guys all stick up for each other. And again, we talk about chemistry on winning teams, but it needs to be stated that there are good things going on with the San Jose Sharks, even in the midst of a season that has so many losses, that is very difficult and has seen so much talent traded away. I mean, we go back to the start of the season, you know, Matt Benning, who in his defense, the hip injury seems to have changed the trajectory of the player that he was, but he gets traded to Toronto. Then they trade Mackenzie Blackwood. Then it's CC. Then it's Granlund. Then it's VTech. Then it's Sturm. Then it's Cunnan. Then it's Wallman. Then it's Zetterlund. That is 9 key players to who the San Jose Sharks had as part of their identity going into the season that we all would have identified as, you know, just key contributors throughout the year. And I guess we didn't know Wallman was going to be what he turned into, but I think that there was an idea with the front office that they thought they were going to get something pretty impressive there. So they, you know, they made these moves and they, you know, put the Sharks in a difficult situation for these remaining games. I mean, even with the Mackenzie Blackwood game, I think that changed the trajectory of the Sharks season. And I also think that there was a big impact with the CC and the Granlund trades, and it's a lot to absorb at that point. And then you come out and you give it your all throughout that 7-game road trip, and then trades are being made at the end. It's a lot for this team to absorb. And I think that it needs to be pointed out that these guys are all on the same team. And I mean that in the sense that they're all fighting for one another, even in the midst of a difficult situation. Even in the midst of a season as difficult as this has been, those guys are stepping up for one another. And that isn't pointed out enough. I think that, you know, you look at the way that this leadership group has stepped up, Mario Ferraro, the way that he's met with the media all year long. I think that you look at Alex Wennberg, who has stepped up into a leadership role and is now wearing an A on his sweater. These are important things that the Sharks need to stand by and need to remember in the future. I think that you look at Macklin Celebrini, who is 18 years old, and I think the way he conducts himself with so many, you know, moments in front of the media that I'm sure aren't easy, he's stepping up into that leadership role. And I think that Mark-Edward Vlasic, you know, even in limited capacity this year, he has been a leader out there, maybe more so than at other points of his career. So, you know, you got some look at some of the new guys out there like Giles last night, like Desharnais. You know, these are guys that were not part of this team just a few days ago. And I think that, you know, you get Henry Thrun back out there, which is good to see. You get, you know, Klim Kostin, who's back out there and, you know, getting opportunity, and Kovalenko back from injury. This is a very different team, but you're going to be looking to a lot of these guys to see what they can do and prove from now to the end of the year. You know, you love getting points for the young guys, and you love seeing more of the narrative of the guys stepping up for each other, because even if it doesn't, you know, equate to wins right now, I do think that in the future it is going to equate to a winning atmosphere. And I think that we look at the narrative of teams like the Colorado Avalanche and what they went through from being a very, very downtrodden team to very, you know, much a contender and, you know, winning their first Stanley Cup with that group a couple years ago, and now having an opportunity with this group to win a second. And I think they've put themselves in a great situation this year. I think you look at, you know, what the Tampa Bay Lightning went through and how down they were and the way that they got through those tough times and turned into a back-to-back champion. These matter, right? I mean, these are events that matter throughout the history of the NHL. Going through downtrodden times together as a team can make or break you. And I think that the narrative that I've seen with the San Jose Sharks is that they are surviving it. They are sticking up for one another. And hopefully these are the lessons that are learned that take us to the future. And I think that you have to give a lot of credit to guys like Logan Couture, who aren't in the dressing room for the time being, but they played with a lot of these guys that are on the Sharks right now, like your William Eklunds and guys that were here previously. They remembered, you know, the lessons that they learned from a Logan Couture. I think that we look at what we've seen, you know, even in the entirety of Tyler Toffoli's time here. He knows what it's like to be part of a championship team. He has been a leader throughout the entire year, even though this is his first season with the San Jose Sharks. You don't get those moments by accident. When you're later in your career and teams are willing to pay for you, for your success, for your personality, for your mentality, again, that doesn't happen by accident. The Sharks brought him in for a reason, and I think that just is going to lead towards future success for the San Jose Sharks. It's tough right now. There is no denying it. It's tough right now. But for the San Jose Sharks, they continue to push forward. And again, with that game last night, I do not take anything out of that and think to myself, uh-oh, this team is in trouble. No, they're going to continue to fight and battle. They have every excuse in the world to get lit up from now to the end of the year, but they're still fighting for one another. And that needs to be pointed to in the offseason when they're gathering. When they're bringing in free agents, they're going to say, yeah, you're right. We did have a very few limited number of wins last year, but look what we were able to do in spite of that. Look at the way the team stuck together. Look at all these one-goal and two-goal games that were tight towards the end of the year. Look at the way that they fought late in games and tried to get themselves back into it. Look at the way the young players flourished. Look at the way the veterans flourished. These have to be part of the narratives going forward for San Jose, because you can't just walk away from this season and take away that, oh, they got a high draft pick. No, it's got to be that Macklin Celebrini continued to advance throughout the entirety of the year. It's got to be that Will Smith continued to advance. William Eklund continued to advance. Shakir Mukhmudulin continued to advance. That you're able to see what you have in a player like Nikolai Kovalenko. That you're able to see what you have in players like Timothy Liljegren. That you're able to see all of these guys and what they can potentially turn into in the future. And listen, I don't know what the future holds for all these players, but I think that San Jose is doing a good job of identifying who they have here, what they want to build around, and how they're going to make themselves the best team possible going forward. This year is not for naught. You know, this year is not just a write it off and go on to the next. There are several positive aspects coming out of this season that the Sharks are going to be able to look to and say, okay, this is what we were able to develop out of this year, and it's going to make us a better team. And I think the other thing to remember when we look back at the trade deadline is that, and I know this is going to be kind of a tough reality for a lot of people, but this Sharks team, as much as we did like Nico Sturm, as much as we did like a Mikael Granlund, a Cody Ceci, a Fabian Zetterlund, a Jake Walman, you go down the list of all these guys, it was not winning. It was not producing results. It was not giving you what you needed night in, night out in terms of the win that you use to take steps forward. And that's not to say that what they did this year should be overlooked, because you loved a lot of the efforts. You loved the close games. You loved the entertaining hockey. You loved just a great extent of what this team was able to bring you in terms of pure entertainment, especially versus a year ago. But Mike Greer has to look at things very, very critically and say, what am I building around? What is the timeline? Who are the guys who are going to be populating that timeline? And what are the things that we can look to build for the future? And that's why I think that Mike Greer is looking at those guys that are on the younger side, aside from Tyler Toffoli, and saying, these are the guys we want to build around. And I think you also have to look at the fact that even though Fabian Zetterlund was a very hardworking, a very productive player, you look at what they wanted in terms of the size and skill set of a third line center that they were viewing in getting in return, as well as a draft pick. And they said to themselves, yeah, this is something that we can get. This is something that we believe will make us a better hockey team going forward. And it's something that I've said time and time again this year. It's not just about the here and now. It's not just about next year or the year after. It is the development of players for the future. And I would also say Mike Greer and his staff have done a pretty good job of figuring out who the right players are and how they're going to slot into what the San Jose Sharks are going to be doing, at least in the short term. And I think you can point to Fabian Zetterlund as an example of that. Fabian Zetterlund was not seen as a critical piece of that Timo Meier trade, but now you look at, you know, the draft pick and what potentially Fabian Zetterlund is turning into, and then what you were also to develop in a player like a Shakir Mukhmudulin. He keeps on getting better, I think, game in, game out. I understand that not everybody is a superstar today, but it's not just about being quote-unquote superstars. It's also having the right collection of talent to build towards the future. And I think that as we continue to look at what the San Jose Sharks are doing, you're getting more of an idea about the future. And Mike Greer wants some big guys. He wants some muscle. He wants some meat. We do need the high-skilled guys that can fly around, but he also wants some big bodies out there that can absorb the brutality of the NHL and probably dish it to the same extent. You need lots of different types of players to win in the NHL. There's not just one mold that gives you a championship team. You need many different types of players, and the Sharks are willing to take a chance, and they're saying, you know what? We need more centers. We have a lot of quality wingers coming up, and in our system, we need more centers. And I even go back, and I was talking to Alan Hoshida about this the other day, and you can listen to the conversation on the buildup. We talked about the idea that David Edstrom, when they traded him away after getting him in return for Hurdle, as then part of the deal for Yaroslav Askarov, it's probably a similar body type to what they were looking at in, you know, Ostapchuk. And that's probably what Mike Greer has been leaning towards. And he's thought to himself, okay, well, here, I can go out there and get this goalie. And instead, he's able to turn one of the pieces around to that, you know, and turn it into Yaroslav Askarov. But he still thought to himself, there's a void. And so he's able to get that player in. And, you know, you need to be strong down the middle. That is the future of the San Jose Sharks. That has got to be what they're leaning towards. And right now for San Jose, I think Mike Greer keeps identifying and figuring out talent that he wants to build around. And that's got to be the maximum of what you're figuring out right now. Who is a part of this future? Can you get more players in your system? Can you give yourself more opportunities to develop talent? That, again, is the big question for Mike Greer and his staff. Give yourself as many options as possible so that when you finally come to the critical moment of who is this team, you have as many possible answers as you can get. All right, let's get into some of the highlights out of yesterday's game. The Sharks, even though they were dominating the shot counter, conceded the first goal.
Shot to the net to the Islanders. They score! Anthony Duclair on the right wing side with that forehand shot, getting it past Alexander Georgiev as the Islanders won the faceoff and tossed it around. But Duclair, the former Shark, and only their second shot on goal of the game, makes it 1-0 Islanders.
That was the amazing part of last night's game, is the Sharks at that point were out shooting them 17-1 and were not able to break through. And then they were out shooting the opposition 20-6 when a second goal was added by the Islanders.
But the pass comes back to the point. Dobson walking into the right circle, shooting the puck, and he missed the net from the right side. He gets it back on the right point and moves in. Now Pechot shoots and scores! 38.4 seconds left in the first period, and the Islanders inexplicably have a 2-0 lead over the Sharks. J.G. Pageau getting credit for it, and he snapped that baby up top after a couple of Islander flurries. It's only the seventh shot on goal for the Islanders against 20 against, and the Islanders have a 2-0 lead.
Especially to give that up in the waning moments of the first period in which you've been fighting very hard. You go down 2-0 with just under 40 seconds remaining. That was a little bit of a buzzkill for the San Jose Sharks, because going down 1-0, that's whatever, but doubling that up to make it 2-0, that was frustrating to say the least. But just about at the 6:30 mark of the second period, the Sharks got themselves back into this game. Nikolai Kovalenko scoring his sixth goal of the season on a power play, assisted by Shakir Mukhmadulin and Macklin Celebrini. Kovalenko, a little bit older at 25, but still in his first year in the NHL. And then you have the two young players in Shakir Mukhmadulin and Macklin Celebrini helping assist along the way.
Now it's Kostin sending it back. Here's a shot. Mukhmadulin, score! Clean questions in the slot. He might have tipped that. It deflected right through the legs of Sorokin, and the Sharks finally solve the equation by getting on the board at 6:27, a power play goal, and it's 2-1.
So the Sharks got themselves back on the board, and they would not concede again. It was 2-1 heading into the third period, and then just 73 seconds into the third, Anders Lee made it a 3-1 game in favor of the Islanders.
Kovalenko on the rebound, off the faceoff, the Islanders score! What is that all about? Right off the faceoff, Anders Lee, the Islander captain, is going to get credit for this. That is a tough one for the Sharks to take here at 1:13 of the third period. Islanders 3, Sharks 1. And just a strange play, Pageau got it to Lee, and he pushed it through, right through Liljegren and past Georgiev.
And then just 2 minutes later, it was a 4-1 game.
Kept in there by Boakvist. Back now to D'Angelo. Through the seam. Pageau back. Boakvist. Score! The Islanders are looking like the Montreal Canadiens of the 1970s on that play as Boakvist lets one rip. It's another power play goal for New York. Their second of the game. And it's 4-1.
Things quieted down a bit after that, but the San Jose Sharks kept on fighting, giving themselves a chance. One thing about Nikolai Kovalenko, spent too much time in the box of this game. He drew two of the four the Sharks had throughout the game, both of which were in the third period. So that's something he's got to work on in his game. But again, the San Jose Sharks kept on fighting all throughout the entirety of this game. They had another chance on the power play after Boakvist drew a hooking penalty drawn by William Eklund. And it was a different Will Smith, assisted by Macklin Celebrini and Alex Wenberg, who made it a 4-2 score, which would be good for your final.
Smith, shoot, score! Settembrini gets it across the ice to Will Smith, and this guy can really rocket the puck. It goes up top for Smith, and it makes the score 4-2, and it's a power play goal, the second one the Sharks have had in this game.
So again, you appreciate the fight to the end for the San Jose Sharks. They did not give up. They kept on giving themselves opportunity. They kept on giving themselves a chance. And to me, even in the midst of losing games, you have to ask yourself, was the effort something that you can appreciate when all was said and done? And I think ultimately, the answer is yes. I think that I appreciated the effort that they showed throughout this game. And I think that you have to definitely look at the way they kept on fighting, what it says about the mentality of the team, what it says about who they are and who they are not. And I think that that's one of the reasons why the Sharks are not going to be stuck in a long-term identity crisis out of a rebuild, is that they know of their effort. They know of their talent. They just also know that they're not there yet. I think they are aware of all of these things simultaneously, and they're giving themselves a great opportunity for the future, which to me is the most important thing. Usually at this point, we get into some of the post-game reaction, but after a loss, I think we all know how guys are going to feel. So I wanted to give you some of Mike Greer's sound out of the press conference on Friday afternoon after the deadline. Some good insights if you had not had a chance to hear it as of yet. The entirety of the press conference is up on the Sharks Audio Network On Demand podcast, but I figured we'd get into some of it here. Here's Greer on why he felt it was the right time to move Fabian Zetterlund.
Yeah, I mean, Steve and I had some conversations throughout today, and had some and kind of back and forth, and I think it was a difficult trade for both sides. It was good working with Stevie on it, but it probably took so long because of what we think about Fabian and what they felt about Zach. So sometimes when that comes, when you have kind of those two things, it's not easy for either side to part with the player. It took a little bit of time, but, we worked it out. And so as far as Zets goes, yeah. I didn't come into this deadline thinking about trading him or Wally, to be honest with you. These are kind of things that happened and come up. And, for us, it was, I don't know if it's the timing, right, but what the timing was, but just something we felt like we needed to do and a fit for our roster and roster construction moving forward. To add a 21-year-old centerman who can, fit in behind Mac and Will. In this league, you can see it. In the long term, that's three pretty good centers, 21 and under. And we got Winnie here to kind of help insulate those guys, but you got to be strong down the middle, and this kid gives us something a little bit different. Size, pace, hardness, physicality. You don't find many of those types of players. They're hard to find, and everyone's looking for them. So, it just worked out on both sides, and Ottawa's obviously a little bit ahead of us. So that just kind of fits in what they're trying to do now to, win now and make the playoffs and things like that. We're obviously a little bit behind them in that regard. And, we just like the way that Zach kind of fits with what we're building here and where it'll slot in the future.
So I think that's a pretty concise answer from Mike Greer, talking about what they were getting in return, that he maybe wasn't thinking about trading him or Zetterlund, or excuse me, him or Wallman heading into the deadline, but the return of what they could get and the youth and how it timed around their own timeline versus where other teams are at right now. This all makes sense to me. I know it's not always the easiest thing to swallow, especially because Fabian Zetterlund had so much charisma, had so much joy to his game. He was such an easy guy to root for and such a good character and a good player. So yeah, I'm sure this was not an easy decision for Mike Greer, but they saw an opportunity and they did what they did in the short term to make themselves a better team, despite having to absorb, like he said, that short-term pain. One of the questions that was asked about Ostapchuk was about him not being as skilled or maybe as productive a player as some of the other high-end Sharks caliber talents that are young, like Will Smith, like Macklin Celebrini, etc. But Mike Greer said, hey, you don't just win with high-end skilled guys.
Well, you can't just have all Macklin Celebrini's and Will Smith's. You're not going to win. I think that's pretty obvious to most people who've been in the game. You need all types of players, all types of characters to win in this game. And that's our job, is kind of try and build a roster and put a roster together. So, you know, no, he's not a Will Smith or Quentin Musty. Like I just said, we feel pretty good about the skill and talent and scoring we have, but we don't have that profile of someone who's, you know, 6'3", really good skater, good details, hard, physical. We don't have that. And like I said, it's a long-term plan to kind of keep building this thing up, and that's where he fit in. So that's whether you look at his stats and say he can score, I think there is still some offense there. But ask the Winnipeg Jets where they'd be without Adam Lowry and see how that would go. So it's important, and we're trying to get to the playoffs. We're trying to win in the playoffs, and Zach's the type of guy you need to do that.
And this is the answer that a lot of people look towards, where he talked about the future in terms of building the Sharks and not being sellers like this anymore.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think on the back end, I think bringing Vinny in the other day is going to really help us, adding some size, someone who likes to defend, and someone's got some meanness to him, which we haven't had here. So I think he'll really help on the back end. But yeah, I think it's, you know, the hope is that this is kind of the last, you know, deadline where we're kind of shipping everyone out, and it's time to start building. We have some good building blocks with our young guys. You know, we got some good vets here too. Toaf and Mario and Winberg, you know, we got some good vets, and we got Ecky coming on to take some leadership role as well. So we expect those guys to keep getting better internally for sure. But, you know, it's time to start building, and where that's using this capital of, you know, the first round picks we've acquired over the last month or so, and, you know, trying to go out and acquire some good players using those, and maybe even some of the prospects where, you know, it's time for us to start doing that and dip into free agency and also and see what's out there and start surrounding these guys. And so, you know, that's kind of the idea, that this kind of phase is hopefully for the most part over of just, you know, sell. Now it's time to start building. I'm sure, you know, we'll still have some decisions to make down the road on players, but, you know, now the hope is to really use some of these assets and start building.
The comparison to Ostapchuk was made to Adam Lowry, and he was asked if that was the ceiling or if he was just making the comparison as a player.
Just the type of player. I mean, I think he's, when you see him, he's big, fast. He plays hard. He's got good details for a young player. You know, he goes to the hard areas. He's physical. He'll stick up for teammates when he needs to. And, you know, there's just some of an element of there when you have someone like that who's got those tools to play against other teams' top players is, you know, I think it's an essential thing these days. You know, it's something we lacked. And I think if you went back and watched his junior tape, he fought Rempe. I think everyone knows what Rempe is, and did pretty well. So not that he's a fighter or anything like that or what we're expecting, but it just shows his character and leadership and his toughness. And you put that in the package of his size and skating, it's something that, you know, we feel like we couldn't pass up because, you know, guys like this often aren't available too often.
So all in all, the San Jose Sharks enduring more short-term pain to get themselves situated for the long-term future, which will hopefully be fraught with success as opposed to more of the realities that we've been dealing with as of late. But the San Jose Sharks, they've got 17 games left. They're not on the road again until January 30th when they are in LA. They continue to be home as this season-long 8-game homestand continues Tuesday, 7:30, hosting Nashville, pregame 7 o'clock, go time 7:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network. I'll be with you that afternoon as we get ready for game time. So the San Jose Sharks, again, dealing with short-term pain in the hopes this will lead to long-term success. I still think Greer is on the right path. But yeah, of course, it hurts to lose a guy like Zetterlund. But again, you're playing for tomorrow, not for today. We're out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.